You're tuned in to Falcon Cast. I'm Matt Moore, next to Jay Adams, Reed Farron. We're in crunch time, aren't we, guys? But we still have, what I say, a chip in a chair. But if you don't win this Sunday, no more chips.
No more chips, no more chairs after this Sunday if you don't win.
The Falcons still control their own destiny, and that's all you can ask for in December, I would say. There's a lot of teams that are out of it. Some teams have clinched. The Falcons, the playoff starts now. And what better way to start than with your division rival, your most hated rival? You got to go to New Orleans to play the Saints.
Yeah, and, the Superdome has not been a kind place for the Falcons to play in recent years. I think since you've been here, what's your record?
I looked it up. I've been here since 2004. I've seen one win in the Superdome. And you're like, wait, I think they've won. Well, one of them was in the Alamo Dome. But then we've only won. I've only seen us win one time in the Superdome. So I'm looking for number two this week, Reed.
It'll be huge. I guess, obviously, it's the 90th career regular season matchup. Falcons lead 47-43. None bigger, like Coach Smith said, than this one because it's the next one. So let's go get it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what Coach has been saying has been great. It's, hey, this is what you want. You win this, you get to do it again next week, and then you win that one, and then you're in the tournament, and then it doesn't matter what everyone's record is.
Yep.
And for the Falcons, or whoever wins the NFC South, you get a home game. And that's huge. And then I think you got more chips in front of you there. That's good. And, hey, Reed, I wanted you to know, I did, when I was doing the filming this week in Coach Smith's office, I told him the chip in the chair, and he kind of paused for a second in Coach Smith fashion, and he said, "That's a pretty unique way to put it." So he liked it.
I'll second that, Coach. Yeah, I'll second that.
He liked it. But let's get into Sunday. We're not even going to talk about last Sunday. The 24-hour rule, it's time to focus on this game and its importance. One thing, you guys have been around Coach already this week. He's been kind of coy on Julio Jones. I haven't seen Coach kind of do this. He said, "I'm done with Julio watch. You'll know 11:30 Eastern time, 10:30 Central time when you're in New Orleans."
Yeah, and I think that's born out of, last week. Smitty said on Wednesday that he was really optimistic that he'll play, and that narrative kind of continued into Thursday. And then Friday, it became a doctor's decision. And so, things can change behind the scenes at the drop of a hat, and we've seen that. I mean, look at Robert Alford. We expected him to be back, 2 to 4 weeks after a wrist injury. Then all of a sudden, they check it out, and he's got to go in for surgery, and it ends his season. So this stuff changes all the time, and I know a lot of folks pay attention to the injuries because of fantasy football and whatnot. But just know things change constantly behind the scenes. That you can never predict these things.
And the thing that Coach Smith wanted to emphasize more than anything is it's not his decision. It's not Julio's decision. It's the medical staff, the team doctor's decision. They're going to take Julio and evaluate him and make the decision. So it's out of their hands at this point. Get it to the guys who are trained and experienced to decide if it's in the best interest of Julio, long-term, immediate, whatever. But it's their decision, and we'll find out Sunday before game time.
Speaking of injuries, I did get a few people send me some pretty grotesque injury pictures.
I haven't seen the photos yet.
We're not going to put them up.
Good. Thank you.
But we'll reach out to a few people this week. They were pretty good. Thank you for sending those. And, Jay, you had a pretty cool fan send you a pick this week as well. Is this the coldest fan we sent?
Yeah. Here it is. Up in Finland, representing Matt Ryan there at Santa's office.
That's fantastic.
It said it at the time it was minus 18 Celsius, which I guess is around zero Fahrenheit. So very cold there. But we appreciate that pick.
Do we know this guy's name?
I had it, and now I can't remember.
Just threw that out there. I'm sorry. But whoever you are, thank you for sending
it. We'll show that to Matty Ice. We have to.
Yeah, we have to, and that's pretty awesome. That's on my bucket list to get to Finland. I heard it's pretty fun in Helsinki.
I want to go to Sweden.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to go to Helsinki and go to a techno club or something. Yeah. I heard that'd be pretty fun.
They like American gentlemen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, there you go. Back to the game. That was the break with Matt Moore. We'll get the break with Bosa in a minute. But Let's talk football again. Reed, you've been in the locker room. You're talking to the guys. And by the way, if you don't follow Reed on Twitter, you need to. Jay as well. But Reed, every time I ever walk in the locker room, he's in some guy's ear, kind of in the corner. You're talking, getting the scoop in there. Well, it's so what are you hearing right now, man?
It's only because these guys are unbelievable with the media and just talking to each of them. And it's very, I don't know if it's cliched or by the book, but both Matt Ryan and the defensive side, Trufant, said it's all about following Coach Smith's plan. He has us in line to prepare for this. Schedule-wise, practice-wise, film room sessions, nothing's bigger than the moment. Again, going back to Matt Ryan's, the 3 feet in front of us. So it's just mentality, come in, do your job, play up to the potential that you have, and then see what happens on Sunday.
You know, this is the second week in a row I've done something stupid when the camera's been on Reed and he's talking. Last week I can't remember what I did. But he's sitting there gabbing away, and I'm like doing something really stupid. You're doing magic tricks. Forgetting that the camera's really on me still.
You know what? The way to get out of this, we got to break with Bosek right
now. Yeah, that's good. That's smart.
Break with Bosek. What do you got for us, Brian?
All right, first off, the guy's name is Carl, who you saw in the picture.
Thank you. I was going with Cody or Carl. Yeah, so Carl. Thank you, Carl. And I thanked him on Twitter as well. But yeah.
And before we get to the break with Bosek, I want to do a little encore feature from our guy on the couch over there. He captured this with Nicole. It's a... let's just watch.
It's the flop of the century right there.
So that was a special teams play. And you know what's funny is that we went to break right after that, and I have the radio guys in my ear. Dave Archer could not control his laughter on the radio. He's like, that's the best flop I've ever seen.
I likened it to like that moment where you're watching like a cheesy action movie and they're like running away from the explosion. And
that is like an A-team. Like, when you're watching A-team, yeah, and an explosion happens, they all jump.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Nate Stupar, we showed that to him yesterday. We did show that. He got a kick out of it.
He loved it, and he said, "Hey, you got to get the edge."
That's it.
He said, "Any edge you can get."
Joe Hawley would be proud.
Absolutely, that's really good, Brian. I love that. What's
what else we got?
That's a good like wrestling flop, man.
It is.
Okay, so we're playing the Saints, Falcons, Saints, huge rivalry. I wanted to know your childhood rivalry growing up. Mine from Chicago, Chicago White Sox, Chicago Cubs, awesome rivalry. I'm just wondering your guys' rivalry growing up.
That's good. Man, I've lived in Atlanta. I hate the Saints, and I hate Georgia Tech. I went to Georgia, and I'm a Falcon guy, so I hate the Saints, and I hate Georgia Tech.
I grew up a Buffalo Bills fan, so I grew up hating the Dolphins and then hating the Patriots. At high school, the rival was, I went to Victor High School. Canandaigua High School was our rival. They had beaten us like 20 some years in a row, in football. And 2 years after I graduated, they finally stopped the streak, I hated
that's
that.
Funny
I
still you said hate that. That. We had the Milton Roswell, and I went to Milton. They had won like 15 straight years. My junior year, we won. We tried to take their goalpost down. The cops like, get out of the field. You know?
We had a situation where I think it was junior year. Yeah, it was my junior year. A bunch of the parents went out at night and glued the lock shut at the field house of Canandaigua. Mm-hmm. It was all like Howard Stern was talking about it the next morning and everything. They got arrested. And so that's, yeah.
You know, so my junior year, we were good and we beat that team. But then the next year, it was our other rival. They were up 42-0 at half. So in the third quarter, everyone, this is one of my favorite high school memories. The third quarter, everyone in the stands are like, this is terrible, man. Why don't we just go roll the quarterback's house for the other team? So we just left. Everyone just left. Went to Winn-Dixie, bought every piece of toilet paper they had in the Winn-Dixie. Drove to his house while he's just slaying us up in the second half. No one's around because everyone's at the game. We roll his house at like 8:30 at night. He comes home and his house is rolled. How about that?
I wonder what the statute of limitations is on that crime, because the Cobb County
I just police watched.
Might be.
I just watched. I heard about it. I watched it.
Oh, okay, okay.
Read right. Rivalry. Yours is like little Jimmy from down the street.
No, hey, Bosek will appreciate this. I grew up a diehard Bulls fan, so my biggest rivalry was knocking off the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, the bad
in
boys.
1991. Those bad boys, when they were sore losers, walked off the court before the game was even over. So when Michael and the Bulls knocked off the Pistons, starting their first of two three-peats. That was huge.
That was a good ride with the Bad
Boys. I grew
up
a Bulls fan, too, when I actually cared about the NBA.
Every kid did. Because yeah, of Michael Jordan. True. What you got, Bostek? What else for us?
Traveling down to New Orleans. Or New Orleans. Sorry.
New Orleans.
Your most memorable moment in New Orleans.
You really don't remember much when you go to New Orleans, do you?
Some of them we can't talk about here.
Well, I remember I went my first year, and I was like, this place is awesome. I had never been to New Orleans before. And I was so excited to go back. But then Hurricane Katrina came through in 2005. And so we went to San Antonio that year. That's one of the wins on the road against the Saints, one of the two since I've been here. But I do remember going the next year, and they opened on Monday Night Football. So it's not a great memory for me, but it is pretty cool to be there when kind of New Orleans kind of came back. I remember there was so much hype, and it was a Monday night game, so we take the bus early, and we pass by the street where everyone's tailgating, and everyone's just wearing black shirts, and I was like, wow, this is going to be tough. Mm-hmm. It's us against the world tonight. And then Michael Canning gets his punt blocked by Steve Gleason. And at that moment, I could have just packed my bags going in because I've never – everyone says, what's the loudest you've ever heard a stadium? It'll never be topped is when that punt got blocked. That I was scared that the roof was going to cave in. It was pretty crazy. That's but amazing. It was a pretty cool memory. And now, you know, with Steve Gleason kind of – you know,
no white flags.
Yeah, with the stuff he's doing now is pretty cool to – yeah. I've seen that play that kind of, you know, inspires a lot of people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'll just go with my first year working for the Falcons. It was my first road trip to New Orleans. Now, I had been there before, but it was my first road trip with the Falcons. And our Taco Mac insider, Nikki Noto, actually made the trip down there. She was going to do a story for us from Bourbon Street, just talking to Falcons fans and who had made the trip. And so I was with her, and she gave me her flip cam because she wanted to do this interview with this couple because the guy was a Falcons fan, the girl was a Saints fan, and so we do this interview and everything, and it's minute long, whatever. She gets back to Atlanta and starts to comb through the footage, and we notice that I wasn't paying attention to the background. Because in the background was one of the strip joints and like three strippers in the front of the, like trying to coax people to come on in. And so like we had to throw that entire interview out. So it's kind of funny the stuff that like doesn't make it to AtlantaFalcons.com. And that was one of them.
Now, hey, Jay, that was the year we won, right?
Yes, that was the overtime win.
Duck hook by Hartley, right?
Yeah. I'll always remember that. That was pretty
funny. All right.
Funny.
That's going to inspire us to get a W. I love that story. That's good. Have you been in New Orleans, Reed?
I have been a couple of times, but my most memorable moment from New Orleans was Super Bowl 20 when the Chicago Bears, William the Fridge Perry, topped the New England Patriots. Walter Payton should have gotten a touchdown, which Mike Ditka still regrets, but nonetheless, the Bears topped the Patriots, and that was pretty memorable.
All right, Bosa, give us one more.
One more for you. All right, here's one. My parents, they're coming into town for the holidays. we haven't done much since I've been in Atlanta. I'm wondering, what's like, if you're a tourist, you're coming down to Atlanta, what do you want to do here when you visit? Like, what's one thing you must do?
That's a great question, Bosek. You got the easy answer is aquarium, World of Coke, College Football Hall of Fame is really nice. I've been there recently. It's awesome if you haven't been. I like the Little Five area, Virginia Highlands. Virginia Highlands is really fun. There's some really cool, like, if you like some sort of scene down there, if you like the, you know, little seafood restaurant, a little hole-in-the-wall bar, there's some shopping for your mom and your girlfriend down there, Brian. But I kind of like that area.
Shouts out to Megan.
Yeah, absolutely.
In 2017, it'll be the new Atlanta Stadium.
Absolutely.
If you follow me on Twitter, you know I'm a concert guy, so I say you got to check out a show at the Masquerade and the Tabernacle.
Mm. Yeah, Tabernacle. Very cool
places to catch shows, so that's for me.
I don't think you can go wrong with Piedmont Park.
Yeah, Piedmont
Park. A lot of things to do.
Take them to get a chili dog at the Varsity, too, Brian.
Oh, yeah, Varsity.
All right, will do.
Yeah.
Thanks for your
grease it up a little bit.
There's a couple of metal shows coming up at the Tabernacle and Masquerade if you want in.
Brian, man. I'll pay for the tickets if you take
mom and
dad.
You know,
Jim Spearware loves hard metal.
Let's go.
Jim will have to make a black shirt with some,
lightning tattoos.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Get it done.
Get that done. That'd be nice. All right, that was a good break with Bosek. We're back on track. I want both of you. I'll start with you, Reed. Kind of give me, for the Falcons to win this Sunday, what needs to happen?
I'm going to go with what Steven Jackson said. Obviously, effectiveness, efficiency in the red zone. No touchdowns instead of field goals because we know the high-octane offense of the Saints and Drew Brees, we need points. And for the offensive line, I don't think they're getting nearly the credit that they deserve. The way they've been protecting Matt Ryan, only allowed one sack this past week. So if they can keep that up, give him time, and then point three, just eliminate as much as possible those explosive plays.
Hey, how about real quick on that, James Stone. What a story that's been. I mean, he stepped in, undrafted rookie free agent, and he's held his own, hasn't he?
Yeah, and Matt Ryan said immediately since he got here that all he observed from Stone is just like a sponge, soaking up in the film room, studying. He's a question asker, and he said he relies a lot on John Asamoah and JB just as the guards helping him, and they've helped facilitate his transition to that starting spot, and he's been rock solid.
AJ, same question.
Yeah, my number one key is keep Matt Bosher on the bench, okay? And this goes hand in hand with what Reed was saying. You've got the bottom two defenses facing each other. So if you're hoping for a defensive slugfest, this is not the game for you.
Only time you want to see Bosch is when he's holding that extra point, right?
Absolutely. And so you've got the number two ranked offense in the Saints, the number seven ranked offense in the Falcons. You cannot go three and out against the Saints. So you've got to score points. Every time you get down there, you get in the red zone, you got to score touchdowns. And that's how you beat them.
You can't give the ball away. That too. Look what happened last week. You lost by seven. You had a pick six. Once you give that turnover, your chances diminish, especially on the road.
And Smitty said, when the Saints lose the turnover battle, they're 1-6.
Isn't that crazy?
Let's go make it 1-7.
Absolutely. I like it. Let's get the picks real quick. I think I won.
You did.
I had Devin Hester, who was all over the place. How about that? 81 return yards, 85 yards, and a touchdown. That was an awesome catch, too. Jay had Steven Jackson, not a bad day, 46 and 11 reception yards, and Reed had Desmond Trufant, six tackles. So, hey, I'm almost out of the basement here. Nice. I love it. Oh, that's awesome. Good job on that, Bosek. I like that graphic. Catching up, and my hope is we just continue this through the playoffs, win a few games, and I can catch Jay. That's my ultimate goal. I got the big picture in front of me. All right, so I get to go first.
Yep.
Remember, no Julio, no Matt.
Why do you look at me when you say that?
Because I know you want to pick both of them. That's why. I'm going to go with I'm going to take your guy that you had. I'm going to go Desmond Trufant.
Okay. Go ahead.
All right. I'm going with Harry Douglas. With,
that's who I was going to go with.
With this offense, you got to go with the third hot hand here.
Rumor is he might be mic'd up.
Yeah, that's true. So I expect a lot of yardage, a lot of points in this game, so I'm going with an offensive guy, Harry Douglas.
That would be money. I'm going with the guy who has the most career touchdowns in Falcons history, Roddy White.
That's a good pick, too. But watch, Trufant's going to get this big interception.
We'll see. I hope so. I hope you're right.
All right. Give me the high angle, Bosek. Call this the supercharger high angle right there. So thanks for setting that up. And we're going to see you next week after a win. We'll still have some chips in front of us, right?
That's right.
Thanks for watching FalconCast. We'll see you next week. Supercharged, baby.